Hotel California. Written by Silent Walrus. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Full Metal Alchemist. Rating, General Audiences. Category, Gen. Also tagged for, snakes. Well, just one. Pre-slash if you're into that. Post-canon if you're into that. Pet sitting. Extreme edition! Slice of life, only the life is Roy Mustangs. So it's wall-to-wall politics machination murder. It's a bad week to try and assassinate Roy Mustang. His life is very stupid in a lot of very dangerous ways. Part 2 of Caveat Emptor.
Times are strange. We got a free upgrade for snakes on a plane. Fuck 'em, I don't care. Pop the cheap champagne. We're going down in flames. Hey,
oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on,
so
bring it.
Chapter 1. The phone in Roy's study ringing on a Sunday evening isn't out of the ordinary, especially given the month he's had. But Edward, being on the other end of the line, definitely is. Yo, Mustang. How did you get this number? Hawkeye? How else? Anyway, you can have pets in your, like, house, right? Like, according to your lease? No. Roy lies automatically, feeling prescient, alarmed, and very doomed. Well, too bad, Ed says, which was clearly going to be his reply regardless of what answer Roy gave. Because I'm across the street and I have a new friend for your next 2 weeks.
Absolutely not, Roy says immediately. Edward, you can't just...
What? What's that? You're breaking up, Ed says, and then there's just the dial tone. Shortly followed by the doorbell. Roy considers not opening it, but that just means Ed will come in through the window.
No, Roy stresses, opening the door. You can't just... Elric, what the hell is that?
This is Luggy, Ed says, patting the massive fucking snake draped over and around his shoulders. Lady Lugnuts, technically, though mostly I call her Luggage. The snake is bright yellow, long enough to hang down well past Ed's waist, and easily as thick around as Roy's thigh.
That does not answer my question, Roy says tersely.
He'd been expecting a cat. She's a banana python, Ed says equably. She's Winry's. Ling sent it. So thank you, Gift, for doing Ling Fan's arm. Sending 80 pounds of carnivorous reptile as a gratitude gift does not sound like the Dragon Emperor. But for once, this is certainly not Roy's problem.
You want to put that in my house for 2 weeks?
Yeah, she needs room. And Hawkeye has Hayate and nobody else has the space or is kind of a wimp, Ed says vaguely. And Winry's in Acroya until the 12th, so...
What possible chain of logic led you to conclude that I should be the person to take care of it?
Roy demands,
temporarily ignoring the fact that Ed is apparently on first-name terms with Reza's dog. "You have a house," Ed says in his speaking-to-idiots voice. "A big one. And she doesn't need, like, supervision or anything. You feed her, like, once a week, and she just chills in a warm spot for the rest of the time. She's practically a vegetable." "Then why does she need room?" Roy demands. "She likes to stretch out every once in a while," Ed says, unperturbed. "She's kind of big."
"I'd noticed."
18 feet, Ed says appreciatively. A poisonous yellow head rises over his shoulder, tongue flickering. "Aw, see, she's saying hi." Roy highly fucking doubts it. "She likes you." Roy highly fucking doubts that also. The head quests further down Ed's clavicle, larger than Roy's hand.
"Edward, I cannot take care of this animal,"
Roy says, unequivocally. "What, is it the rat thing? Look, if that's a problem, she can find her own food," Ed says, as if this is meant to be reassuring. "Like, if you had mice, you won't anymore."
"Rat thing? What rat thing? And I do not have mice."
Ed eyeballs Roy's house skeptically. "Old pre-reform place like this? Steam heating? Yeah, you have mice." Roy does not have mice. Half because he lives off of takeout and there's nothing for the mice to eat, and half because if he did, Chris would behead him. But the mouse question is currently taking a far back seat to the rats.
"What rat thing?"
"Oh, it's just what she eats. I mean, rabbit too. But you gotta keep them alive, and those you gotta feed every day. I figured this would be easier." He pats the snake's hide. "Here, I'll show you." With that, Ed lifts the snake off his shoulders, bends down, and places the thing on Roy's porch. He also unslings a backpack. But Roy's preoccupied with noticing that the snake somehow looks even bigger against the backdrop of Roy's tulip-patterned welcome mat than it did sitting on Ed's shoulders like the world's most upsetting shawl. "She doesn't eat super often, but rats are actually more of a snack than a meal at her size, so, like, every 3 days you can offer her one and see if she wants it," Ed is saying. The snake's head drifts up towards Roy's ankle, tongue wiggling. Roy is not going to move his foot. He's not. There were glasshead rattlers and sand vipers in Ishval that liked to go looking for warm bedrolls on cold desert nights. And those were always best handled by keeping your cool, moving slowly, and making sure the animal didn't see a threat in you. Of course, all of those snakes had weighed maybe 2 pounds at maximum. The narrowest point on this thing's whole body is as thick as Roy's calf. If a venomous snake bites you, you can apply an antivenom. If an 18-foot-long python crushes your ribcage, however, you are faced with a slightly different set of resuscitative options. "And if you want to give her a treat, you can take her for a swim," Ed continues. Roy wonders just what expression on his face is indicating to Ed that he would like to treat this creature to anything but an eviction. "Just fill up your bathtub and she'll climb in if she wants to soak. She's super easy, really. Not a petting kind of pet." He grins at Roy. "I figured it'd be just your speed."
"What is this even revenge for?"
Ed says outright, instead of paying attention to the slow yellow slide happening somewhere much too close to his ankle.
"We haven't spoken in months. Is this because of the arts classes? Surely poetry can't have been that bad."
"What? No, poetry's great. What are you even... This isn't revenge, bastard," Ed says exasperatedly. "I need a friend to watch her for a couple of weeks, and you fit the bill. I'm even paying and everything.
Pay an animal boarder instead, Roy says immediately.
I'm not paying with money. You get a favor. 2 weeks snake sitting worth, Ed says. Besides, hardly anywhere does snakes. Nowhere does really big ones. And all the pet places I called and offered bribes to want you to book like a week beforehand.
And you think I'm going to be more bribable? Roy demands.
Ed just looks at him. The urge to argue that he is not more corrupt than some chihuahua sitter is not a helpful one.
Can't you take it wherever you're going? Roy tries.
Nope, Ed says cheerfully. Me and Al got hired for the whole, you know, Bridgeport thing. We're getting on the train tonight.
Bridgeport, where the latest earthquake collapsed half the lower canyons, 4 out of 5 major bridges, and flooded 8 satellite towns downriver. Roy's brain provides via automatic mental flashcard.
Besides, she likes you, Ed continues. Look, she's already inside.
Roy's gaze snaps to where Ed's pointing, in time to see the last few inches of snake glide over Roy's threshold and into the hallway.
Oh,
He's stopped by Ed's hand, suddenly gripping his wrist.
It's just 2 weeks. You barely need to do anything, and I'll owe you a favor,
Ed says steadily, holding Roy's gaze. His eyes aren't anywhere near the same virulent yellow as the snake. But Roy's reminded that under the fluffy mess of Ed's behaviors, brains, and braid, there's a carnivore all the same. And it's worth Roy's time and attention.
She's nice. You'll see.
Lady Lugnuts, Roy said after some moments.
Yeah, you know, because Winry likes engines, but also she's, you know, a girl,
Ed says, presumably thus presenting the sum total of his insight into femininity. He lets go of Roy's wrist, leaving a phantom prickle of warmth and calluses. Winry's number is in the bag. Someone will be back to pick her up in 2 weeks. And she better not be crispy fried snake on a stick when we get here. Okay, bye. And so Roy is left with a water dish, a bag of alchemically freeze-dried rats, and the certain knowledge that God is real and personally hates him. He knew that already, of course, but he supposes he can't fault the world for feeling it necessary to post a reminder.